29, which is related to warrants issued by the Department of Human Services. And with us this morning, or this afternoon, see, I'm still back there in the morning, is Representative Carolyn Tomei. Come on and join us. And I know that Ken Ryder is here representing the department. So with that, we welcome you to our committee.
Thank you. Shall I give my testimony? Thank you, Chair Winters. Members of the subcommittee, for the record, I'm State Representative Carolyn Tomei, representing District 41, encompassing the city of Milwaukee and part of Southeast Portland. Thank you for hearing House Bill 3629, legislation that authorizes the Department of Human Services to issue warrants for recovery of overpayments of public assistance. Briefly, House Bill 3629 addresses and offers a remedy to the administrative and legal costs of pursuing benefit overpayments. When a person receives benefits to which they are not entitled, the Client Overpayment Recovery Unit of the Department of Human Services has the responsibility to attempt to recover the overpayment. Currently, the beneficiary is entitled to an administrative hearing. If the benefits are not recovered voluntarily, the Department of Human Services must file suit in small claims court or refer the claim to the Department of Justice. Such an administrative hearing was held and an administrative hearing was held and a decision made. It is duplicative to go through the courts. This duplication cost exceeds $120,000 per biennium. House Bill 3629 resolves this duplicate spending and expedites the process of recovering overpayments by granting the Department of Human Services the authority to file warrants. These warrants would allow the Department of Human Services to issue garnishments when the decision of the administrative hearing is that the beneficiary was not entitled to receive the public assistance. I requested this drafting of this cost-saving, streamlining piece of legislation at the request of the Department of Human Services. It will save the state money and allow for greater assistance to Oregonians who indeed need it. Thank you for your consideration of House Bill 3629.
Any questions of the representative?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gourley.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Representative Tomei.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Just for clarification, does the bill still provide for an administrative hearing or some type of administrative process for a person who may contest or who may in some way want to contest?
Senator, Madam Chair, may I bring up a representative from the department who can probably answer this more ably than I?
Mr. Ryder.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Williams, Winters, and members of the committee. I'm Kenneth Ryder. I'm with the Department of Human Services. Senator Gourley, in response to your question, House Bill 3629 does not alter the client's right to request an administrative hearing. What we're trying to do is streamline the process, because right now the process is that the client who is alleged to have received an overpayment first is accorded the right to an administrative hearing under ORS Chapter 183. Then if the department's assessment of an overpayment is upheld, then there's a second hoop that the department has to jump through, and that is to try to establish a legal right to garnish wages or a bank account or engage in some other post-judgment execution. So what we're trying to do is just streamline that second hoop, obviate the need to secure a judicial judgment upon which to base a garnishment or writ of execution. But the right of administrative hearing is still preserved, yes.
Thank you very much. And you have stated exactly the kind of information we need to have on the record as we move forward. And I'm prepared to support this this House bill.
I do have a question. How does this interface or how does this work with the collection efforts with Department of Revenue and what they do for DHS on Iowa dollars? But how, because are some of these collected by revenue?
Chair Winters, my understanding is that this is an independent process, and if the Department of Human Services is unable to recover the overpayment through this procedure, then we can subsequently assign it to DOR for collection or a private collection agency.
Can you give me some timelines of when you begin your process from start to when it ultimately, if you're not able to collect it, when it would go to Department of Revenue or to a private collector?
Chair Winters, I'm afraid to report that I'm not in a position to provide those to you, but I certainly can ask a person in the department to provide that information to you and the committee members.
I think that's very important. We've spent a lot of time, I have personally, in this whole issue of collecting debt that's owed to the state. You know, I began two sessions ago, and I think that we have moved the debt collection. In fact, we passed a bill out of working on a bill in general government that, one, would state that we have a smaller window now, if you will. It used to be a year, and we're asking now that that's sped up to 6 months. So I think it's important to know whether or not what we're doing here is a duplication of what we're talking about in another piece of legislation that's currently in general government. So it's information that I would like to have before I actually work session this one and pass it out.
I can certainly have that information available to you in a very short time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to make sure I understand this bill. This bill would allow you to garnish wages without a court order. Is that correct?
Chair Winters, Representative Bates, that's correct. What would happen is that the client who is alleged to have received an overpayment of assistance is afforded the right to ask for an administrative hearing. If the administrative hearing obviously goes against the department, then there's no additional recovery action attempted. If the administrative hearing rules in favor of the department, then the way that the current process is that we don't have a foundation upon which to issue any other post-judgment execution proceedings because we don't have a judgment. So at this point in time, what we have to do is take that administrative hearing, use it in support of a small claim suit or a regular civil action in circuit court through DOJ, get a judgment, and then bootstrap that up to enable us to issue post-judgment execution. So this does
follow up.
I understand that part of it. Does the client have a right to ask for a trial?
I would, at this point in time, if the administrative hearing goes against the client who is alleged to have received an overpayment, the client has a right to appeal that to a judicial forum. And I would suggest to you, although I can't say this definitively, but let's posit the situation where a client, for some reason or another, did not ask for an administrative hearing during the process, and then all of a sudden they get a writ of garnishment based upon the issuance, based upon this warrant. My understanding would be that the department would allow a hearing at any time during the process if the client had not taken advantage of the opportunity to ask for a hearing. So we would not continue to garnish the person's wages or bank account if they interceded during the process and asked for a hearing at that point in time.
Madam Chair,
follow up.
The question I asked is, do they have a right to a trial? I hear the rest of it, understand the rest of it. Can the client ask for a right to trial? It sounds to me like you said after they've gone through a hearing, they can ask for a trial. They can ask to go to a judicial hearing.
Well, I believe that the right to a judicial hearing may be through the Court of Appeals. I don't know if it's through a trial court, quite honestly.
Last question. This is federal funds involved in these payments. Have you checked any federal regulations that might contradict doing this? Is this acceptable to the federal government?
I don't have the answer to that question, Representative Bates. I can follow through with that for the committee.
I'd like to find that out, Madam Chair, just to make sure we're not going to run into a federal situation. We've done things like this before and then found out we're countermanding federal law, and then we end up having trouble. So if you check that for us, I'd appreciate it.
Certainly will. Thank you.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The way I read the bill is that the first stop would be on appeal, would be a contested case hearing. Administrative rule.
That would be my understanding, Senator Morse.
And then there's always the right to go beyond that, I would assume.
And Chair Winters, Senator Morse, my understanding of the procedure is that the person who is alleged to have received an overpayment is accorded an opportunity for administrative hearing. If they don't like that, I think they can appeal that, but I don't think it's in a trial court setting. I think it's through the Court of Appeals, as is any other appeal of an administrative hearing under Chapter 183.
Follow-up.
Thank you. Madam Chair, are we breaking new ground here with this bill with respect to collection? What are other departments doing?
Chair Winters, Senator Morse, my understanding is that several other administrative agencies actually have this process. I believe that I'm sure that Employment Division has it. I think maybe Transportation has it. I'm not sure of what other agencies employ the warrant method of recovering overpayments as opposed to affording an opportunity for a trial. But I know that there are other administrative agencies. Again, we can get that information to the committee if you'd like us to do that.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a broad question. We're affording the state some rather exceptional tools to collect monies. We don't afford those same privileges to the private sector. Just as a thought.
I also have another question. Have you been in consultation or collaboration with the group, the state group that meets on collection issues through DAS?
Chair Winters, I'm not aware of any such meeting having taken place. It doesn't mean that it didn't. I'm just not aware of it.
I guess I'm asking these because we have started putting systems in place to deal with overall collection for the state, and I guess I'm asking these questions because I want to see how this fits in with what we're doing on a broad basis in collecting on debt that's owed, including this issue, whether that the department is responsible for, you know, it's whether it's child support or whether it is, overpayment. Can you tell me currently how do you collect this debt if you're unsuccessful? Do you now refer it to revenue?
Chair Winters, my understanding at this point in time is that we can attempt to, after the administrative hearing process has been afforded to the client, we can file a legal action to try to recover a judgment and then engage in post-judgment execution, garnishments of wages, bank accounts, etc. I believe, although I'm not certain because, quite frankly, I'm not in the overpayment recovery unit, but I believe that after a certain point of time, these debts would be referred to Department of Revenue or a private collection agency.
I think it would be helpful if we had someone from the from that unit who can respond to some of these questions that we raised today. I'm not ready to move this forward because there's just too many questions by this panel that should be answered. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for being late. We were in a very important caucus meeting, and maybe this was discussed, but just to add a comment for the record, I'm a little bit concerned, and I hope I didn't miss your testimony, Representative Tomei. We can talk later.
Yes.
That we're going to go and penalize people for maybe a mistake that government made. That's my big thing here. If errors were made in calculating what food stamps should be or something else, and then we're going to go out and take these people through small claims court, issue a judgment on them, ruin their credit rating when they're already down and out because they lost their job, and that's why they're on welfare to begin with, and da, 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 da. I'm a little bit concerned about that. You know, if it's just outright fraud of an individual lying on an application to try to bilk the state out of money, that's a whole different idea. But for the honest people, or if the government has made a mistake, again, you know, I'm a little bit concerned that this could have some serious unintended consequences.
Chair Winters, Representative Smith, again, my understanding is that the majority of these types of cases, and particularly if we're talking about an administrative case, are ironed out during the initial process when there's a series of letters that are sent from the department to the client. And then there's generally a discourse that's engaged in between the department and the client. And most of these, particularly these types of administrative cases, I think are ironed out, and they never reach the stage that we'd get to at this warrant. The warrant would only be issued if, after the series of letters had been sent out, either there had been no response to the letters, or there had been a response and an administrative hearing had been held and the hearings officer upheld the department in its assessment of an overpayment.
Ms. Ryder, can you tell me what are the primary, or probably there's more than one, reasons for overpayments?
Chair Winters, I am unfortunately not in a position to break down the types of overpayments, whether they're mostly administrative or client-caused, and what may be the basis for the issuance of each of those overpayments.
I think it would be helpful for this committee to have that kind of information, because then we're getting into the issue of whether or not, if you have an overabundance, if it's greater on the administrative side, then it's looking at perhaps we need to do some better training of what have you of our staff to reduce the error rate. If, however, it is, as Reverend Smith says, if it's out-and-out fraud, that's a whole other issue to address. But I would like to have some information as to the causal of the overpayments.
Certainly, I'll pass that information on to the overpayment recovery unit, and we'll provide you with that information.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Morris.
Would the chair, Madam Chair, consider an amendment to this bill, and Representative Tomei consider an amendment that would allow collections to be go directly after an aged period, go directly to the private collection as opposed to the Department of Revenue?
Senator Morris, we have some other things in the work that's in general government. That's why I requested that we kind of step back and try to see how both of them come together, because there is the bill that's in general government now that we're working on that does speed up the debt going from one place to the other one and then to the private collectors. And I would hate to have some duplication of effort coming out of our committee when there's something over in another committee that we can perhaps maybe join together if we can work with the good representative. She's going like this, and maybe get it all incorporated.
Good.
But I also think that we need the information that we requested from the agency so that we can make some good informed decisions.
Yes. Good questions, and we will make sure we get answers for those.
Okay. It's right in line with what we're all interested in doing, mm-hmm. and that's collecting our debts that are owed to the state. And I thank you, Reverend Tomei, for bringing it forward. But I'm just cautious at this point of making certain that we're not duplicating effort and that we're not creating some conflict with another bill that's in another committee.
Right.
So with that, if there's no further questions, we will bring this bill back in one form or the other, and we are before we adjourn.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Just wanted to kind of bring you up to date on schedule, and that is that not this week, you get some freedom this week. However, it will be short-lived. just so you know, the week of the 23rd, and I'm anticipating that we will begin start moving rather quickly here. So it is in all probability you may have to do some Friday meetings. Just so that you
don't endear yourself to us,
thank you. I know you love me regardless, but anyway.
Madam Chairman, I am ready for night meetings. We can expedite this process.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Fresh.
So
Saturday meeting.
I must have to work on weekends.
Okay.
So I'll stay work tonight.
So anyway, in probabilities, we may have to go there. So I just wanted to alert you that you've got some breather from now for this rest of this week, but just be prepared that we will begin. We have the DD Commission that we will be hearing probably on Tuesday. We will be doing the division-wide issues on Wednesday. We will start children and adult and families on Thursday. we will go into community and health services on Friday. And as you know, we will try to get all of our health systems beginning the 30th of June. We will run health for those 2 days, and it could be possibility that it goes into three. And then we go into senior and people with disabilities and do that. And then we have OMAP after that. I owe a lot of money today, and then we get to insurance governing pool. And by then, we're into the 4th of July. So we need to have our business wrapped up. And don't forget, you have to save time for the 25th of June, because that's a special day for all of you. It's the all committee chairs have joined together with Human Services, and we're having our thank you of your services on the 25th, and hope all of you will attend that. I don't think it's ever happened. Six chairs are coming together to
actually agree on something.
We agree on something. So anyway, and it should be very nice, and you should have a nice time. But anyway, that's your schedule. Just wanted to give you a heads up. And thank you for all your hard work. I will see you when I return. We're adjourned.
3 days, right?
Yep.